And worship you, to overcome through trial, everything and more. And Lord, all we desire tonight is that we see Jesus high and lifted up in that which we hear, because we know that our faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And Lord, we know also that the Word of God is setting the captives free. And Lord, much of our freedom comes as we are purged and purified and made holy for you. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus over our time. We thank you for the blood of over the room, all those that will come into this room. We thank you that you've given us ears and heart to be able to hear your word. Our prayer and desire is, Father, that your word goes out into the harvest, for it is plentiful, and you are bringing them in these last days. And so, Lord, we thank you now for your word in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. What the enemy gives him, say, does not always, and I think he's clearly showing that he doesn't like the word being preached. And we periodically, through these attacks, particularly on the technology, but it shows that even God is in control of technology. Hallelujah. Well, this evening I have a title of which I want to talk and discuss on, and it's called Watch You Don't Become a Cripple Wrestling with God. Watch you don't become a cripple wrestling with God. And of course, we need to remind ourselves of that story in Genesis 32. In Genesis 32, where we know the story of where Jacob wrestles with the pre-incarnate Christ. And we'll take it up in Genesis 32, chapter 32, and we'll look at verses 22 through to 32. Verses 22 through to 32. And here we take up the story of where Jacob wrestles with God. Jacob is running away from his brother Esau, who is after him. And He's basically wrestling with God for deliverance, for change, for peace. His life has been a turmoil, family turmoils, usual things, things that we can identify with, and so on. And here he wrestles with the pre-incarnate Christ. And it is for a reason. Remember, he's part of the seed, the patriarchs, of which Messiah would finally come. But we take it up in verse 22, and he says, "And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What's your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel,' which of course means peace. 'For you have struggled with God and with and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And he blessed him there. And so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.'" Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his limp. And so it goes on. "Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank." Interesting story here. And we're calling our teaching tonight, "Watch You Don't Become a Cripple Wrestling with God." Now, this very much has a sign of, for those who are now in the last days, which all of us are, because we believe we could well be the last generation for the coming of the Lord. And therefore, we are finding ourselves with regard to prayer, because Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." Much of our praying, as God is trying our attention in, is with regard there. I am convinced that much of our praying to move much warfare heavy on me is in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 18, of the armor of God. We've read it, we've looked at it, but we're going to remind ourselves again. Because the word of God, if we've opened our hearts tonight, we will realize and see yet more of why the armor of God is so vital. We have to get the revelation of God's word from our heads to our hearts. In Ephesians 6 and verse 13 onwards, he says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." So it's not just some of it, or what appeals to us, it speaks very clearly in verse 13, the whole armor of God. Whose armor? Yours? Mine? Full Gospel Assemblies? No. The whole armor of God, God's armor. And the armor of God is the fullness of the Godhead in you, that you may be able to withstand the evil day and having done all to stand. So it speaks of a day, the evil day, where you can stand. Stand against what is coming on the earth. Stand against what tries to attack you. This is why God has given us faith and the deeper life, that we're to stand and endure to the end. But we need the armor of God in which that is to be done and accomplished. He says, stand therefore, having your girded your waist with truth. Sorry, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for I am an ambassador, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So here we just remind ourselves again from verse 13 as we open this up, and we're calling this tonight, "What You Don't Become a Cripple Wrestling with God." Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. That is the challenge. That is the call for the overcomers. Take me, my fullness in you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is our armor. He is the one who goes before with the sword, whom we follow. We walk in his footsteps. As he wars, we war. As he withholds, we withhold. We do everything the Holy Spirit reveals and shows to us with regard to the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. The only way you understand this armor and use this armor and experience this armor is by the anointing of the Spirit of God. This cannot be intellectually learnt. It comes by the Spirit. It comes by revelation. That's why, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The days are evil and are getting worse. And he says, with all that standing, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So you have to be a man or woman of truth. You speak the truth. You do not speak a lie. And it says the breastplate of righteousness, which means you have been made right before God through the blood of the Lamb, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All of that is absolutely essential if you are to have a revelation and an experience of what this whole armor is. Could it be that why so many don't understand it or don't apply this or haven't got a clue about this is because they fail here in verse 14. There's not truth in them. They're not righteous before God. And then he goes on, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you're called to be a peacemaker by the gospel that is being taught to you. That is its fruit. The sign that you are being taught the pure word of God is that in nature, in heart, you are a peacemaker. By the fruit, Jesus said, you will know them. In other words, yes, you will. You can cause division by the word of God, but that's done by the Prince of Peace. It's not done by man's stupidity or religious demons or cultish demons. You can't preach the gospel of peace in that way. The gospel of peace, the gospel as we know, is a good news to a dying world, to those that receive it. He then goes on in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And that's why we have been given over the years the message of faith and the deeper life. Because faith appropriates the armor of God. Faith gets you to believe in what you have read there and what you have asked for, so that it becomes your experience. That is what our faith is to do. Our faith is to be active. And it's to be active with that which we are reading here in Ephesians 6. So that our faith quenches those fiery darts of the wicked one. In other words, our faith comes against the powers, principalities, the demonic forces that I'm always on to you about as pastor. But some of you, bless your hearts, you still bury your heads in the sand to this. You have to wake up. These are real times we are living in. And Satan is out to destroy us. He's out to destroy this body. And you. And it is no good running to the pastor every time. Or running for help. Or running to the arm of the flesh, has provided all for us when he said it's done, it's finished at Calvary. He is the one that we go to. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and love not your lives unto death, which is the working of the cross. That is it every time, brothers and sisters. We have to war against these fiery darts of the wicked one. And with that warfare coming against these darts, he says, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that helmet is needed so that those fiery darts don't get into your brain, into your mind. For we are to have the mind of Christ, and our minds are to be continued to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. And one of the ways that God's doing this, renewing the mind, setting us free, is by tonight, as we come, we listen to the word of God by the anointing. That's certainly one of the ways, as we open our minds and hearts to receive that word, so that anything that's trying to invade our minds or take over our minds can be eliminated by our faith in the helmet of salvation. Notice it says the helmet of salvation, which means you have to be born again. You are of another spirit. You must be found in the second Adam. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which we are learning, which we labour in, which not only do you listen to, but you yourself go and open the word of God and pray over it as well to your own personal life. Some of us are still a bit lazy. We want to just listen to the pastor when he preaches on a Tuesday and Sunday. Well, how about your time and devotion in the word of God? Just as important. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit. You can only really pray in the Spirit, supplication, if you have the armor of God. Then you can pray in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we're praying for the body of Christ, we're praying one for another, we're praying for the harvest. Our prayers are causing the body of Christ to press through the powers of darkness to take the promised land, which I was speaking about on Sunday. And for me, that utterance may be given. So Paul applies his ministry there in the context of the armor of God. The same as I apply my ministry there and your ministries and any other ministries that you know that God is working with in these last days. Why? We're all ambassadors in the chains and bonds of Jesus Christ, speaking boldly as we ought to speak. And that is what God needs to put much more on Full Gospel Assembly. A boldness to speak. It doesn't matter what they say, what they think. All that matters is we speak in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it says we're called to be peacemakers. So we do not use the word of God to provoke or to cause emulation or strife. That's not its purpose and reason. Quite so, witnesses for Jesus Christ. That is what we're called to be. So there, in the context of this title, is what it's about. It's warfare for these last days. Now, the warning for this story that we read back in Genesis 32 with regard to Jacob wrestling with the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. The warning of this, I believe, is don't become a cripple wrestling with the ways of God. Because you could. Don't wrestle against the plan that he has for your life and for the church and its ministry. If you start wrestling with God because you don't like the walk, or you don't like the person drawing you alongside, like the minister, whatever it would be, if you keep wrestling with God in those areas, you could become spiritually a cripple. And that's what I'm referring to this evening. There are Christians who are trying to get out of the perfect will of God for their lives. And God is ever working us and keeping us into his perfect will and plan. We know that it shows that there is a perfect and permissive will of God. And if you start wrestling with God, it means that you prefer the permissive will of God. And in the permissive will of God, you will always take it with you wherever you go. The perfect will of God is the promised land, because the promised land speaks of deliverance, wholeness in mind, body, and soul. You see, this wrestling is to be one who wrestles before God with regard to things of this world. We are to wrestle with God, but it is to wrestle against the enemy, the things of God. We're to fight for the perfect will of God in all things. That is what it's about. For example, we know very, very well, what we're just reading in the context of what we're talking about here, in Romans 8, verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wrestling before God brings change for his kingdom, not for the kingdom of self. Christ has overcome all of that. Christ overcame self, you, your sin, by giving up his life. That is why we make much of the death of Christ. You don't wrestle with God. so that you prefer the permissive will of God, because you could land up becoming spiritually crippled otherwise. Our prayers, our intercessions will be answered by our completeness in Christ. And our completeness in Christ is the whole armor of God. It is the blood of the Lamb. It is the perfect will of God. It is the cross that we daily take up and follow Him. If we desire that, if that is our heart, that is our prayer, that is what I want, that is what I'm saved for, then we don't have to wrestle with God because I want my way. I want what I want. There's so much prayer. There's so much soulish prayer because I want it my way. End up being a cripple. That is not what the Spirit has been given under New Covenant. That is not what Christ died for. That is not what these promises says, that all things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You see, we have to war against the things that hinder your communication with God. And I think, brothers and sisters, we've not always taken that one seriously. I think sometimes we have been blinded to the fact that our whole armor is also that in my warfare, I'm warring because I desire to hear more from God. And sometimes we will need to war with regard to our communication with God. And it might regard wrestling in prayer and not for self. There's nothing wrong wrestling in prayer if I want more of God and to hear from God and to be used of God in these last days. Sometimes there's that travailing in the spirit. There's that tenacity of holding on and not letting go. I was saved for relationship with Almighty God, and I'm not letting go of that because the powers of darkness want to hinder that relationship. Those fiery darts want to cause me to look at other things and be distracted. And if need be, I will wrestle for that, to maintain that hold with Almighty God. I'll tell you, God won't turn you away with that. No way. That is what prayer is about. Prayer is not about you, your wants, my needs, what I can get out of it. We know that because he says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants us to get into real prayer. And it's absolutely vital. You see, you don't wrestle with him because you don't like what he's doing. Because you will become crippled if you continue with it, persist with it. It's not always easy when this getting our attention. He's trying to show us that I don't want that in your life. That is our deliverance. And we have a choice whether to hold on to it or to surrender it over and to stay with it until we get deliverance. Because he will. You see, we don't need to do this because we are in Christ now. We are more than conquerors. I just read it to you. So we now don't wrestle with God before him in that sense, but we wrestle with God for things that are important that pertain to the kingdom of God in that sense. You see, some have given up with this because they're just lazy. Or some just don't take prayer seriously. They don't take the word that they're hearing seriously. But you see, this intercession that I'm talking about, this whole armor that we have, this wrestling, yes, in the sense that pertains to the kingdom of God, that is where our empowerment comes. That is where his strength comes. That is where he can be glorified in the body of Christ. This is where he can add to the church. Satan doesn't want converts. And he's going to try and hinder and hold them back. We are told that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Could it be that the laborers are still held in fear and in bondage? Compromise? Still in the land of decision? They haven't fully settled it yet with God? They're not sold out? They haven't gone to the Garden of Gethsemane and settled it there? Those days of compromise are going, brothers and sisters. We're in real times now. Things are unfolding rapidly. There are things that I believe God wants to now reveal to us much more now in this assembly. As I spoke to you very frankly on Sunday, we have to move to the next plateau. We have to move now into these next new pastures that he has for us. Fresh grazing. We need greater strength renewing in the inner man. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us to come into real spiritual warfare. The gifts are to reveal to us what we're warring against in the spirit realm. We have wickednesses in the air, in the atmosphere, demonic forces, demons hindering. And we have been shown over and over again the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We're taking authority over these, and we've seen many times when we have taken authority over this, change, breakthroughs, and so on. These are demonic forces hindering the gospel, hindering healing, trying to hinder revelation to the church, trying to hinder souls from being added, and I could go on infinitum. Are we just going to lay back? Oh, well, God did it at Calvary. He knows what he's doing. After all, God knows everything. Maybe he wants us to know. But those who are hungry for the Lord, those who are truly born again, who are overcomers of first fruits, have a hunger to know more and more about Almighty God. And above all, to be used. That is why we're being trained as a spiritual army. There are forces coming upon the earth now that is taking man's mind and soul into hell. There's coming a day and an hour when man will have to make a choice. It's called the mark of the beast. I spoke about that on Sunday. But I just want to clarify something on that. That those who take of this mark, take it because they want to worship the beast, the image, who gives the power of that mark. It's not forced onto people. So I want to make that absolutely clear. They decide to worship and bow down to demons, to the Antichrist, Satan himself. That is their choice. And for those who don't, the Bible is absolutely clear, they will be killed. There will be mass massacre in the last days. Now we're all saying to ourselves, oh, but praise the Lord, I won't be here when that happens. Well, thank God we won't. But are we going to take that lightly? Are we going to be complacent about that? Or are we going to find our prayers, our faith, our overcoming is all part of God working for those to overcome in these last days? We don't have that attitude about us. Well, I'm all right, Jack. I don't know about the others, but I'm as long as I know what I'm up to and what I'm doing and what is right. And yes, we are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. But don't let that be a means of just hiding our heads in the sand, because it's not going to affect me. We are being affected already now. Today, we're under attack. And that is why the armor of God is so essential for us to understand and experience now in these days. But we need to know what we're warring against. We need to know that our warring is inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. That our warring isn't because I want my own way or I don't like what God is doing. Maybe some of us tonight don't like this message that is being taught. You can decide on that, whether you know it's of the Spirit or it isn't. The point is that if we're wrestling, fighting to get out of the will of God, we could find ourselves becoming spiritually crippled. And Jacob walked the rest of his life with that cripple. As a cripple, with a limp, and a reminder. But of course, his life, his walk, his family was changed. Because God was working through the line here of Messiah, and the overcomers, and Israel, and so on. But we now have received the Prince of Peace in our lives and in our hearts. And that's why we make peace. We are peacemakers. We're not called to cause division, squabbles, fights. That is why God deals with pride like he does. That is to be the nature of our life and our walk with Almighty God. Much of the church today has it. It doesn't want to walk in the perfect will and plan of Almighty God. So much of, sadly, what he is apostate. Much of, a lot of it is counterfeit. Its origin is not that of the Holy Spirit. Its foundation is not that of the rock of Jesus Christ. We have a lot of counterfeit that is around today. We have many who call themselves Christians. We have many who profess themselves as believers and so on. And that again, where one has to test. That is where one has to wait and to see. Because many can say it, but it's those who live it, who apply it, who apply that. Can you all hear me now? Am I back online? Yes, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Again, going back to the experience of the armor of God, as we apply this, as we start to obey showing us in getting into this warfare and so on, then your eyes will start to be open to the spiritual realm. Your eyes will start to be open to what Satan is up to and trying to do. Some of you are confused about what's going on and these things that you hear, and it's on the basis because you're fearful of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare makes you a soldier of God. And a soldier of God is one who can see what the enemy is up to. And when you begin to be shown in revelation by the Spirit what the enemy is up to, because you love the Lord with all heart, something within you rises up, a power, a strength that rises up in you to come against the powers of darkness, because you see that they must not prevail or overcome. Jesus must get the victory. That is what happens when you start to be taught spiritual war. You cannot wait to apply the blood of the Lamb, the sword of the Spirit, over those demonic forces. You can't wait to see them drawn back by the blood of the Lamb, by the faith of the saints, as the land is being cleansed for God's glory. There's something within you that rises up for that. But flesh and blood can't reveal this to you. This can only come by the Spirit of God, as you are shown this. And you are shown it when you start to apply that which you hear. This is why I'm convinced that Full Gospel Assembly is going to move more and more and more into prayer, into intercession, both individually and corporately. Little wonder the enemy is trying to fight. Little wonder he's trying to hinder us, trying to stop us with all sorts of things that he does, trying to get our attention, trying to draw us away. I think sadly a lot of us, because boredom was coming in, and God knows how far that this all goes. And I know that we've been questioning, well, is it really going to happen? Are there going to be these changes? I hear it week after week after week. And so, you know, we begin to compromise. We find we start watching the television a lot more than we used to, or we want to go out or get involved in the world and friends and so on. Yes, I know exactly how the enemy is working. Well, these new pastures that we're now ready to move into are going to revive. There's much there that we're going to see and be shown. But it's for those who want it. It's for those who receive of it and take of it. This is why God is giving his word like he is. The promised land was for those who wanted it. And Joshua and Caleb were of the right heart and right spirit. They didn't try to get their mind into it, how the giants of the land were going to be rooted out. They just knew that their faith, walking with God, would be accomplished. This is why God keeps our faith simple. That childlike faith in its belief that we're well able to overcome the giants of the land that have at the moment robbed the Church of Jesus Christ. Yet with that simple childlike faith, God will show us profound things by the Spirit if we want it. But for those who are fearful, you will find yourself retracting, turning back. Because unless we face fear, unless we confess it and get it under the blood of the Lamb, unless we close our minds to the fiery darts of fear, we're going to be hindered. The nature of fear always paralyzes spiritually. And that's why we're getting free from fear. For there's no fear in the perfect love of God, as the scriptures tell us. So now, watch You don't become a cripple wrestling with God. Finding that you're wrestling with the things that he has for you, has for the church. But if you are to wrestle, then be it in prayer, intercession, things that pertain for the kingdom of God. To fight and wrestle with God in that sense, what a wonderful achievement. What an honor to fight in God's army, to be a part of it. And none of us can say, oh, well, I don't think I am. I don't have any potential. I don't know much. I don't really know the word of God, whatever it is. No. We're told the least in the body of Christ are the most important. Nobody is left out in this. All of us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in other tongues, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are called for such a time. This end time, because I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, most of our brothers and sisters are asleep to this. They want still to be told, tell me Jesus loves me. Tell me that Jesus thinks I'm a good boy or a good girl. That's all they want to hear. They still want the milk of the word, but it's the meat he's giving to us now. The solids, and they will be found in new pastures. And there's much that we're going to give. Please be in prayer. Please be in prayer for me, because yes, the enemy is on my back. He doesn't like this, but we're breaking through in all of this. And I believe that we have real exciting times with the Lord Jesus, if he tarries, for the coming new year, believe me. And I believe there's going to be big breakthroughs, because it's time now, saints, to move on. And if it's not for all of us, well then so be it. But if it's for those who want it, then we will move forward by the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he which hath begun that work will complete and finish it first and for full gospel. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, again this evening we have been blessed by your presence, by your word. Thank you, Father, that only you can change, only you can provide. Everything comes from the throne of grace. We are completely naked in your presence. And Father, we desire to experience the whole armor of God so that we are used effectively, both individually, corporately, in prayer, intercession, warfare. Lord, please deliver us, keep us from wrestling with you because we don't like your ways or we don't like what you're doing or I don't like my circumstances or whatever it will be. Father, help us, Lord. I pray your mercy over us because I believe, Lord, there are a lot of Christians around who are crippled because of that very nature and heart and spirit. It's not what it's for. Only you can teach us these inner spiritual principles, Father, in the Word of God. Only you can teach us your ways. Lord, may we always seek the kingdom of God and what pertains to it, to defend it, to fight for it, to believe for it, to endure for it. Lord, that heart and spirit that you are looking for from the overcomers now in these last days, because the bride makes herself ready. And Lord, we desire to be ready because we know, Father, there's that spiritual ark and there's a door to that ark and you are beckoning and welcoming all to go in. But one day that door will finally close. A man will not close it, God will. So may all of us, Father, be watchful, be ready, alert. And may your grace ever be upon us always, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Jesus is.